Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Walden. My guest today is Eric Klein. Eric is a wine export consultant or facilitator.
That's right,
in yes. His native Slovakia.
Yes, that's correct.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Did you have a background in wine?
No, not exactly. I can say that maybe my grandpa in the Slovak Tokaj region used to make some wine for himself and for his friends, but nothing really serious. It was just kind of an amatorial thing, and he loved it, but it was not business.
So Slovakia is a bit of what was the Czechoslovak Republic is near Hungary then. So Tokaj is just across the border.
Exactly.
It's a famous famous Hungarian sweet wine.
Hungary, Austria, Poland, and Ukraine as our neighbors. And of course, Hungary is a very famous wine producing country.
So how did you get into wine education?
So it's been more or less 10 years for me. It all started back in 2007 when I met Neil Empson. Neil Empson is a very important person for Italian wine, especially when it comes to export.
Into which country?
In mostly United States, Canada, Australia, some New Zealand, English spoken countries. He started back in the 70s when really no one was doing it yet, and he was a pioneer, and he has really become a legend. Really, I think Italian producers today should build a statue for Neil Empson for what he has done in general for Italian wine abroad.
So what is your role then, and how do you help or facilitate wine producers who want to look to export markets? How do you deal with them and then with the markets themselves?
Okay, so basically back in 2007, 2008, when I started with Neil Empson, I looked at the portfolio that was available. It was about 40 producers and some own brands that Neil Empson started with some famous winemakers in Italy like Franco Bernabei and others. And these were wide open and free for markets that for me would make sense to go to, like Slovakia, Czech Republic, so basically going back to my origin, and also Poland and some others like Ukraine, and I even tried in Russia and so on and so forth.
Did it help the fact that those markets weren't fully developed for that kind of wine?
Absolutely.
So what was your sales pitch?
So my sales pitch basically, back in the 90s, let's go back like maybe a decade. Back in the 90s, when after basically the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia, there were many opportunities in the wine world, but it was all very chaotic. And
so the Velvet Revolution was when there was the Czech Republic and the Slovakian Republic
split. Yes.
No longer Czechoslovakia, they decided to go their own ways.
Yes, because obviously when it comes to Czechoslovakia, as a wine country, there is a big history. Czechoslovakia has always produced wines when we go back to Austro-Hungarian Empire and even before. It always was a big thing on that territory. But of course, with the socialist regime, it was not possible. The quality was really bad. It was horrible.
To lots of cooperatives turning out
exactly.
Bilge water, basically.
So when that ended, in the 90s, you started to have first serious producers in Slovakia and Czech Republic, and also imports started to come in. It was very chaotic, as I said before, it was very hectic. Really serious operations started from, let's say, end of the 90s and 2000. And basically, I came on the scene in 2006, 2007. And what I saw was a big opportunity for wines, let's call them interesting quality price ratio. So that's what I focused on. That's what Neil Empson is really strong at. So I took that portfolio, the available producers for free producers for those markets, and also his own brands like wines like Montantico, Bollini, and others, not really famous in Europe, but huge in the United States. And I started to propose these wines in Central and Eastern European markets.
Were these wines for retail or were they for the on-trade?
They were mostly for retail, but they could also as I said before, not really developed markets, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Poland, those years. So you could target wine like Monte Antico, which is one of the best-selling Super Tuscans in United States, let's say below $12. You could also try on, you could try also on trade and Horeca with those kind of wines.
What did people like about the wines, these Italian wines? Was it the flavor? Was it the kind of sexy Italian kind of Mediterranean thing?
Well, you know, as the market opened and people started making more money, they started traveling more and more. And, you know, Italy is a huge, let's say, brand. Italy is a huge magnet. Italy is beautiful culturally, gastronomy, and people started discovering wines. And they started bringing those wines to their country. Some of them even tried to market them, to import them. Not always very successfully. As I said before, in the beginning it was quite hectic. But then you've started to have some serious players also in Slovakia and Czech Republic, like let's say Corner or Provino or Invino, companies that started to have some, you know, interesting portfolios of Italian wines. In the beginning, of course, maybe wines like Pinot Grigio, Prosecco, Primitivo, and maybe Chianti, adding then later on wines like Brunello di Montalcino, Barolo. You know, as sophistication in those countries progressed, as people traveled more and more and earned more and more money, they started experimenting and asking for more, you know, quality and that kind of stuff. But I think when it comes to Italian wines, the most important thing what people look for is drinkability and also quality price ratio, and I think Italian wines have that.
What about wine education? Is there any sort of formal wine education in Slovakia for Italian wine whereby people can get confident about what they're buying? Because Italian wine can be a bit of a minefield with all those native grape varieties and all those confusing DOCs and DOCGs.
Yes, absolutely. So when it comes to education, looking on my markets, looking on markets that I go to with my proposals, I think there is some difference between Poland, Czech Republic, and Slovakia. I think Prague as a city, as a reality, is very advanced in this question.
Why is that though?
I think it's because Prague is just, you know, one of the most beautiful, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and it's very international, and you have a lot of expats there, Americans, Italians, even Russians nowadays. So there's a huge demand for quality and for diversity. And, you know, when we speak about diversity, Italy comes to mind almost immediately with all these autochthonous, indigenous grape varietals that we have. So Prague is really wide open, has been wide open for Italian wines for a decade at least, and I think there's still opportunities.
What are the emerging market trends though? Is it, are locals interested in varietally labeled wines? You mentioned Brunello, maybe Primitivo, that kind of thing, or do they get the idea of a blend, say Chianti Classico or Suave?
Well, I think if we focus on retail only, it's, as I said before, it's probably only about those four, five, maybe six types of wines. Mostly reds, because I don't know if I mentioned this before, Slovakia and Czech Republic, not many people know, but it's actually, both of these countries are actually serious wine producers. And on a good vintage, on a good year, these wines are even delicious, especially whites, of course, but on a good year also reds. So there's a big demand for reds, for importing red wines, a little bit less so for whites.
So what are the main grape varieties and local grape varieties that people drink?
That's a very good question. So basically, when we speak about white wines, it's varietals like Rulanske Schede, which means Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris, or Sauvignon, some Chardonnay, which are international varietals. But going to the territory, the Slovak and Czech territory, there is Veltliner, Gruner, there is Silvaner. Riesling is very popular, both Riesling Renano, so Riesling...
The proper one.
The proper one, yes, let's call it that. And also Riesling Italico, the Welsh Riesling, or now they call it Grashevina, very popular. So there's quite a few, actually.
So you've got quite a mix of aromatic, fully aromatic or lightly aromatic local white varieties. Where would the Italian versions of that sit? Which varieties would you think could be fruitful?
Okay, so as I said before, when it comes to, you mentioned whites?
Yeah.
Okay, so white wines from Italy, it's been a hard battle, basically, because...
People want warming reds, is that it?
You know what it is? In Slovakia and Czech Republic, people are obsessed with acidity, like really almost sick. you know, it's
they like really acidic wines.
They really like acidic wines, and they like aromatic wines. I'm not saying aromatic varietals, but they really want those flavors, like crispy and really fresh, right, and sometimes even exaggerated flavors.
If you're an English wine producer, you should listen to this, because if all else fails in England, you know you've got a market down there.
But it's been changing, okay? It's been changing. And so, as I said before, Prosecco, Pinot Grigio, and Soave, even if Soave wines have been damaged in the past in the 90s with these, let's call them first cowboys that started their first wine operations, import operations in Slovakia, and they would bring huge quantities of Italian wines also in Slovakia. One thing is to, you know, share wines with your friends and maybe sell a few cases, but another story is setting up business and selling these wines. And pallets of wines, and doing it with a little bit of strategy. So you would have these pallets of wines maybe stocked in not very proper way for years, and then they would be in difficulty, these guys, and they would need to sell really quick to get rid of these wines, and so they would damage. And Soave was one of those wines that was really damaged in the 90s, but okay, that's in the past, and it has recovered quite nicely. And so Soave wines, I think those really well-made Soave wines, so let's say in the Classico, Soave Classico area, they really, I think, have a good chance to come back. Also, I think Vermentino could be the next big thing in Slovakia, because Vermentino can be fresh, also acidic, as they like, but it's also
got some body to it.
Fuller flavors, have some body to it. So,
what about Verdicchio from the
Verdicchio
market?
Is, you know, that's a very good question, and I, when I thought about, you know, things that I would say to you today here, Verdicchio and also Campania, white varietals like Greco and Fiano and Falanghina, these are still very, very much unknown grapes, and I think the potential is there. It's just we have to, you know, people need to travel a bit more to those areas.
What about tastings in locally for people, like wine evenings and things like that? Do people do like attending that kind of event?
Yes, but it's been happening for quite some time, especially in Czech Republic. And when I say Czech Republic, it's 80% of Czech Republic, you know, happening, let's call it the wine world is concentrated in Prague. Prague is almost everything. Then you have cities like Brno and maybe Karlovy Vary, but it's mostly about Prague. And also, as far as wine education, focusing on Italy, Warsaw has been doing a very good job. In Poland, there's at least 2-3 very good quality magazines. Mm-hmm. And very good sommelier school, so they have world class journalists, and so they've been doing a very good job. Bratislava, Slovakia is still behind, so I see a good opportunity there. Things are changing; it's been improving. But you know, you ask me about Verdicchio, and it's a very good case. Verdicchio should be on the market. You can probably find maybe 1-2 labels, but not more than that. So
basically, what you're saying is there's a market for somebody like you. There's room for growth.
Absolutely.
And education and knowledge.
Absolutely, and education. It's all about education. Education, education, education. I would stress this so much. And it all starts with these millennials, with the young generation that is very excited about learning new methods and discovering new wines, new labels. It starts with the Slovakian producers, of course. It starts with the Slovakian wine world. They really go deeper into it. But then they go to their clients and they explain all these little differences. And these clients then become more sophisticated themselves, and they start going also, you know, outside of that little Slovak world and asking for more Italian wines, more French wines, more Spanish wines. It's not only about Italian wines, of course, but this is to our advantage. You know, as people get more sophisticated, as people try new things, taste new wines, they open, and when they open, that's when it happens.
Great. So I want to say thanks to my guest today, Eric Klein, who is the Vinitaly International Ambassador for Slovakia, also a wine importer. Wish you every success with your educational.
Thank you so much.
Hang on, with your educational initiatives and also with your wine import business.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice to meet you, Eric. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
Thank you so much.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey, discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.